All right. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Revelation. We're going to read our scripture today. Back in our study, we were in the series on joy for Christmas and then a sort of a New Year challenge last week. And I was going to do all of chapter 13, but decided not to. We'll be in verses 1 to 10, and the scripture will be up on the screen. And again, when we get these mounted, there'll be one on one side and one on the other. I know I'm hiding some of it from you, but we'll just have to deal with it. But hopefully you have a copy of the scriptures in front of you. Revelation 13, 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written in the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive to captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. May God open our hearts to his word. Father, a lot here in these verses. Help us to grasp the significance of these verses today and apply them to our lives. May the Spirit open our heart. In Christ's name, amen. Believe it or not, here's an illustration from the airport. There you go. When I had first started working there, and I don't think Bob had come on board yet, it was dark and these helicopters came from the National Guard and we parked them out in the grassy area. So I got the fuel truck and went out there to fuel them. And as I was fueling the helicopter, all of a sudden I felt this stinging on my legs. So I'm trying to fuel and I'm trying to do this at the same time. I thought, what in the world is going on? You can tell I was new to Florida at that time. Well, the next day when I came in for my shift, I said, I'm going to go out there and just see what's going on. There was a huge mound of fire ants, a fire ant mound. And I must have been stepping probably not right in it because I would have probably tripped over it, but to the side. So I was in a place that I did not belong. I was in a place that they began to attack me because they did not like me. Thankfully, I wasn't allergic to fire ants. You know, by God's divine plan and purpose, we are in a place we really don't belong. But in a very real sense, we're also in a place where we do belong. We dare not become comfortable in this fire ant hill where God has placed us. But we must have faith and we must endure in all of our suffering. And we saw in chapter 12 where Satan's goal and desire is to destroy God's people. In fact, if you look in verse 17 of chapter 12, because 13 ties right in, then the dragon became furious with the woman, which is God's people, the church, and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he, the great red dragon, stood on the sand of the sea. He's not like the angel in chapter 10 who had his foot on both areas showing sovereignty. He only has a part, but he is very powerful. So chapter 13 tells us how Satan goes about accomplishing his furious desires that we saw in chapter 12. And you and I must understand that he has engaged war on us. If you are a follower of the Lamb, he hates you. Satan is a murderer. He's a deceiver. He is a liar. He's been doing this for a very long time and he is very good at it. Have you found that out? He is extremely good at it, to even get lamb followers to follow him and be tempted to follow him. He uses whatever he can. He uses nations, leaders of nations, religion, which we'll see next week, leaders of religion. He empowers them to accomplish his desires. He also uses unbiblical philosophies of our day, shoved in our faces. Do you ever watch a TV show? And hopefully you're astute at this and you pick up the philosophy. They're teaching you philosophies on how you should think, how you should conduct your life. Media, entertainment, the news channels, books, schools, friends, and many more to try to attack lamb followers. He preys on the old man that each of us possess, does he not? I think he tries to get us to do the opposite of 2 Corinthians 10:5, letting every thought be taken captive to obey Christ. What a verse. Is every thought you and I have to obey Christ every moment of every single day? It's not, is it? But that ought to be our goal. And growing more and more towards that. And he desires to get us off that path. So the thrust of chapter 13 is the beast. The power of the beast, the desire of the beast, and who it is he is trying to, or it is trying to imitate, and who it is trying to eliminate. That's the beast. So in verses 1 to 10, we have this first beast. Now, if you sort of grew up in some different teaching than what I've been giving you, you have to kind of force yourself to kind of put that away a little bit. All right? And we're going to stick to what I believe the scriptures teach as we have all along this sort of this study. So we're going to go verses 1 to 10 and talk about the first beast. The second beast we'll go with next week. Now, we know that this beast here that we read is connected with the descriptions that we went through in Daniel. All right? Satan's power is given over to nations and rulers of nations to do his evil bidding. And his great desire is to imitate Christ. That's what Satan wants to do. Listen to this, and we won't turn here, but listen to how the beast imitates Christ. Now hold on, I'm going to tell you who the beast is in just a second. No, it's not President Trump, all right? In chapter 19, verse 12, Christ has many crowns, many diadems. In verse 1, did we not read the beast has many crowns? Imitation. Chapter 19, verse 12, Christ has a worthy name written on him. Chapter 13, verse 1, the beast has blasphemous names written on him. Chapter 5, verse 9, Christ has people from every tribe, every people, every language, and every nation. Look in verse 7 of chapter 13. He's allowed to make war on the saints, and authority was given over every tribe, people, language, and nation. He is imitating Christ. In chapter 7, verse 10, Christ and God the Father are worshipped on the throne. Chapter 13, verse 4, they worship the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against the beast? Imitation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus the Lamb is the resurrected one, and he stood as having been slain. In chapter 13, verse 3, 12, and 14, there is also a sort of resurrection. The beast was slain, and yet he lived. Now I'll bring that up here in just a little bit. So we see the beast is always trying to imitate Christ and imitate everything that Jesus has. And that's why it can be so tempting for people to follow him. But I want you to see in this passage the beast desires, the desire of the beast. This satanic beast, influenced by the great red dragon Satan, who has been given his authority and his power, desires to be worshipped. That is his great desire. The obedience, the glory, the honor, the praise, the adoration, the exaltation, the bowing down, the center of attention. This obsessive desire of Satan is for you and I and for the whole world to bow down before him. That was what got him kicked out of heaven, was it not? Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? Satan showed his desire there, did he not? To be worshipped. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the nations. And Jesus replied in Matthew 4, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is the devil's desire for the world and even for lamb followers to follow him and to worship him. Now look at verse 3. And one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound. But its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled and followed the beast. In verse 4, they worshiped him. Now, there are various interpretations to this verse. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to tell you the right way, but I believe, right? I thought I'd get a shout. Amen, brother. I believe that it is talking here about the Roman government when it faded away with Nero, and then when Vespasian came up, it revived again. So it was as dead, and then it revived. And notice here, there's the Antichrist, right? Is the Antichrist the final one associated with the beast? I would say surely it is. So it would not surprise me one bit, as some teach, that the Antichrist puts on like a fake death or some kind of death and resurrection. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, because Satan's plan never changes, does it? But I believe what John is talking about here is more than likely the Roman government, the beast, that sort of died out and then was revived again as another Roman general took over. But notice here what the world did to this beast, this satanic-powered governmental throne and power. Look here in verse number 3. The whole earth marveled. The whole earth followed, and the whole earth worshiped. That is Satan's desire. The whole earth wondered and amazed and admired the satanic empowered beast. They follow. Apiso is the Greek word, which means actually to get behind. Now, when you get behind, what do? You follow. All week long, not quite all week, I was trained to take people from one room to a testing place. And I'll tell you what, it was like being in the belly of the beast until I kind of learned it. And I just would watch, and I'd follow, and I'd look. Oh, you do it this way. You do it this way. Oh, here's where the brake is. Here's where the steer is. Here's where you knock this. Oh, here's how you do the oxygen. Here's how you do an IV. And my head is just spinning. But I got kind of behind, and I just followed. That's what this Greek word means. The whole earth is following this satanic-empowered beast. So what do when you follow? You focus what is out in front. You fix your eyes on what's in front. You go where they go. You think what they think. You say what they say. You be where they are, and you become who they are. Right? That's Satan's desire. Go where I go, think like I think, say what I say, be where I am, and become who I am. The whole world was just head over heels following the satanic empowered beast and its philosophies, which is imitating Christ. It is a false Christ. And notice what also they did in verse 4. They worshiped not only the dragon, and even if they know it or not, but they also worshiped the beast. And look what they said in verse 4 there. No one is greater than the beast. Who is like the government? Who is like the throne? Who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? Nothing compares to the beast. And in the last Antichrist, he is leading it. No one is greater. You know, we sing sometimes the song Indescribable, don't we? Indescribable. Remember that song we sing? Let me read a few words of that song. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky. You know them by name. You are amazing God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing God. Satan wants us to flip that around and to give all that glory and praise to Satan and whomever he empowers to become the beast. Satan wants to hear, you are amazing God. You're indescribable. Isn't that what it says in verse 4? Who is like Satan? And forget this idea of, you know, he's got pitchfork and horns, and he comes subtly, doesn't he? not so that you recognize him. He's deceitful. He's a liar. He's a murderer. So the nations give what is due Jesus and Jesus alone to Satan and whomever he empowers. So is the Antichrist the beast? I'm waiting for an answer. Okay. Well, surely the Antichrist is associated with the beast, but remember something that's very true. What did John say as we went through 1 John? How many Antichrists are around today? A bunch, right? You might work with some, right? They are everywhere. So the Antichrist surely is associated with the beast. There is a final Antichrist coming. But let me go through a list here, just so we know quickly. The beast we see from the sea is a secular political power empowered by the great red dragon, Satan. There have always been Antichrists, 1 John. There always will be Antichrists. But there will be a final Antichrist. I like what this one scholar said, quote, "Because Satan does not know the time of Jesus' return, he must always have Antichrists in waiting, so that we will know which is the final one only by when Jesus comes and wipes him out. Until then, the spirit of lawlessness continues in the world, and we continue to experience many Antichrists." This is why we see thrones and nations arise where people actually believed this is it. How about in the 1940s? Several people, this is it. Hitler must be the Antichrist. And we see many thrones, and I'm not going to go through the whole list as we did in Daniel again. And you go through history and you see these evil, satanic empowered leaders that, who do they always want to murder? It's Christians. And it's happening even in our day today. Nothing is new. On different scales, some small, some as with Hitler, huge. Many Christians today imprisoned and murdered by the state, by the government. But notice verse 5 and 8 through 8. The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty. It's the Greek word megala, great and mighty things, full of arrogance, degrading the majesty of God. And blasphemous words, abusive language, exchanging what is true for what is lie, just like Romans 1 said. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. I believe that's symbolic for a limited time. God gives him this power. He blasphemed against God. For those in God who is in heaven and those in heaven, verse 7, he was allowed. Did you catch that when I read? I tried to emphasize it. Do you see verse 7? He was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Who allows the nations empowered by Satan to make war on us? God. He's always on God, under God's sovereign power. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. His desire is to gain the whole world, to worship, to follow, to marvel after him. And notice verse 8, all who dwell on earth. In Revelation, that's always a reference to unbelievers. And we see in verse 8, there's only two groups. Only two. You're either a follower of the devil, if you know it or not, or a follower of the Lamb. And here they are. Everyone, all who dwell on earth will worship it, the beast empowered by Satan. Notice the neuter gender, it, not he, it. Everyone whose name has not been written in the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. That's the second group. Followers of the Lamb. There's the gospel right there. We're going to bring it up a little bit. The Lamb was slain. He died on the cross. It's been all through Revelation to deliver us from satanic power, whether you know it or not. And then he says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, you got to catch verse 10. Here's what you better hear. If anyone during this whole time which we're in now and have been and will be is to be taken captive to captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Hear this and hear this good. You may suffer. Even as a follower of the Lamb, you may suffer, and it can be guaranteed. If you are taken captive, you will be taken captive. If you are murdered for the cause of Jesus, you will be murdered for the cause of Jesus. And look at the end of verse 10. This is a call for you to never quit. I don't know about you, but I grow weary of what I call quitters. Just give it up. It's too hard. Is your life hard? I'll be honest with you, my life's been hard this week. But I've been amazed how God has strengthened me. It's been an absolute glorious thing. It's amazing. There's a sermon today, right? It's just been a new pattern I've gotten to get into. But I've been amazed at the strength he has given. Here is a call. Why is this a call for you to endure and to have faith in God? Because the Antichrist and the beast and the Antichrist empowered by Satan, his goal is to make war on you through the government, through your boss, through whatever. If you suffer, you just may suffer. And this morning as I was looking through this, I wrote a note to the side of my Bible. I wrote, your life may be one of suffering and hardship with full relief only coming in the day you first see Jesus in heaven. That's how some people's lives are. Don't you love a day of rest? For some people, there's no day of rest until Jesus takes them home. What a challenge verse 10 is. Endure. Don't quit. Continue to believe. And we're going to apply that in just a second more. So the beast desires to imitate and eliminate. And by the way, I believe the only proof that you truly are a child of God is the end of verse 10. You endure and you continue to have faith. That is the proof you are his child. You're a lamb follower. So let's conclude. We, the church, are truly living in a fire ant hill. Have you noticed that? It's been interesting to go back and sort of be in the workaday world. I forgot people hate their jobs. I forgot people hate each other. I forgot that people are self-centered. I forgot that, you know, well, I can't believe they didn't do this. I got to do this. You know, and I'm sitting there going, God, don't ever let me ever jump in with them. So I just say, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I smile and on my way, even though I have no idea where I'm going, you know, I only killed 3 people this week. Other than that, I'm just fine, you know. And it's been a great reminder for me. And I just started praying for those people God put me with, that I could be a good influence on them. We live in a world that is opposite of God's ways, of the Lamb's ways. It doesn't think like us. It doesn't even have the capability to think like us. It is tough out there. And the great red dragon crawls up our leg and bites. And sometimes we don't know he's crawling up our leg until it's too late. And sometimes we get so far from where we should be, we don't even see it till it's, whoops, and we have to come back. We feel the bites and the stinging. I want to show you just 2 things. There was a lamb that was slain. Look at verse 8 again. How was this beast defeated? Is it through the government? Is it through just having a lot of money and having whatever you want? How is the beast and Satan defeated? All who dwell on earth will worship it. They'll just follow. They'll follow. They'll get behind and they will say what it says and think what it thinks and goes where it goes and be where they're at and become who it is. All those things bombard us. How do you defeat the devil who has control over death? And I don't fully understand that. But the scriptures say that. God is always sovereign, but the scriptures say that, and it's not a problem for God. This is a foe that hates you with a passion. He hates your husband. He hates your wife. He hates your kids. He hates your grandkids. He hates Living Hope Church. He hates New Covenant Church. He hates Pastor Tim. He hates Pastor McNutt. He hates you. There is not one little ounce of love for you in our enemy. Oh, he wants you to think that he loves you. Hey, just do. It'll be okay. It's going to feel good. Everybody else is doing it, right? Go ahead. Doesn't really matter. He declares war. And war is bloodshed and death. Ugh, right? You ever see pictures of people in war? I admire those people immensely. Wow. This is what we're in. How is he defeated? Just be a really good person. You're here today, right? So you defeat Satan because you're here today. Well, it's part of it, but is that? I just go to church. No. It's great. You should be here. But well, I'm just going to determine not to do anything bad. How'd that go? I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. I'm not going to have any wrong philosophies. And when they're complaining at work, or when everybody's at work on Monday and they're talking about the affair they had this weekend, or they got smashed that Friday night, how awesome it was, you know, and then they call them for a drug test and they can't figure out why they failed, you know. How do you defeat these wrong attitudes? How do you defeat when the government tells us it's okay to do this because we approve it? You wake up tomorrow and you're, let's just say, who can I pick on? Boy, you're all going, not me, not me. I hate it when he picks on me. All right. Well, since Pastor Bob's here, Joe Smucatelli wakes up tomorrow and he decides he's a woman. You know what? I rolled out of bed. I had my Lucky Charms and a cup of coffee. Went to the mirror. You know, I'm going to be a woman today. Government says, that's okay. I remember on an application, there were questions about that on the application. Our government, you're a man, you want to marry a man. Woman, you want to marry a woman. It doesn't matter anymore. Our government is beginning to approve. Why? Because it's satanically empowered. We should not be shocked. How do we defeat the holding grip of this great red dragon as John describes him for us? Here it is in verse 8. All those whose names were found in the Lamb's Book of Life, by the way, written when? Before the foundation of the world. Not there's a new name written down in glory. It's already been there. Spirit of God just opened your heart because it was already by the sovereign choosing of God and His grace chose you. The Son died for you. The Spirit awakened your soul. And all three of those are required for salvation. That is the gospel in the book of life of the Lamb who was what? Slain. The devil says, oh, I'm going to fake this like the Roman government died, it was resurrected, and I would not be surprised in the very last Antichrist if he doesn't try to pull something off like that as well, because people will marvel, wow. That's the gospel. Jesus, the Lamb of God, promised from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God the Father guaranteed he would be sent, and he paid the price for those whom he has chosen. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Satan was defeated on that cross in the resurrection. That's how you beat the great red dragon. Not because you're great, not because you're good, not because you got a lot of money, not because you look good, not because you're talented and gifted, not because you pop into a church, not because you read your Bible, but because God, the Spirit, opened your heart. You recognize that you were lost, you were hopeless, you were worthless, and your only hope was that that Savior died for you and paid the price for your sin. And now you are a child of the Lamb of God. That's the gospel. So you repent of your sin, which you don't hear that word much anymore, do you? Repent. Repent. Walk an aisle, sign a card, you're good to go. No. True followers endure. Even though we have our struggles, right? Anybody here not struggle this week? Anybody in here wake up and say, I don't need the word today because I got this one figured out. I walked into the hospital when I knew I was going to be on my own the first day. Oh, God, you've got to help me today. And I was amazed how I was finding place. I only got turned around once. And the guy in the bed was so out of it, he didn't know. I'm spinning around. I was really glad he was kind of, you know, thank you, Lord. You're covering me every direction. It's the gospel that saves us, and we do falter. So the question for us today who believe we are saved, we are followers of the Lamb, is this. Is something other than Christ controlling us? It's a good question, isn't it? Is something other than Christ controlling you? any thoughts, any decisions, any philosophies, which I guess is the same as thoughts, any actions. Remember, the people who follow the beast and Satan marvel, follow, and worship. But Christ is nowhere there. These people don't stop and say, okay, you mean the government says I can wake up tomorrow and say I'm a woman? I saw somebody decided he was a dog. Was it a dog? He said, I'm waking up tomorrow, I'm a dog. I identify with a dog, I'm a dog. So I guess instead of going to the doctor, he goes to the vet. I'm not sure. But I think it was true. I mean, and where's that going to go? You know what? I think I'll wake up tomorrow and identify with a millionaire and check my bank account. Good luck with that. You've tried it, right, Dottie? You've tried it? But Christ is nowhere there. Those are the lifestyle characteristics of unbelievers. But Lamb followers follow the Lamb with endurance and with faith. You know, I asked myself, why did John write through the Spirit of God, here was a call? This is not just if you want to, it's okay. This is a call. Endurance and faith of the saints. And by the way, if you're a follower of Christ, you're a saint. You know, if you died this week, we're not going to convene a council next Sunday and make you a saint. You are set apart for Christ. You are a saint. Why is there a call for endurance if you are taken captive? That's where you will go. God's sovereign will. If you are slain because of your faith in Christ, you will be slain. It can get hard and is hard and will be hard, so you better endure. Obedience requires endurance, does it not? Because we live with hardship and suffering. We are here by God's design, but we don't belong here. This is not our home. So it requires endurance. Obedience requires faith, because when we suffer, we're tempted to believe that God does not love us, God does not care for us, God is not sovereign in our life, and just keep going down the list. And if you're honest, you've been there. This hurts. Why am I being attacked at work? Why is this happening in my life? Why do I work all day and get called out at the funeral home at 8 o'clock and then got called out at midnight and got in bed at 2 and had to get up again at 6? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thankfully, God awakened my soul. And by the way, that's not really suffering. I'll admit, when the phone goes off, I usually go, darn. You can say darn, right? Endurance and faith. Because if Satan can tempt us to believe, God doesn't love me, I am not his child. And what an awesome song we sang. Who am I? Right? Wow. I am yours. Right? And when you're hurting and suffering, and who knows what it's going to get like here in America in our lifetime, aren't we seeing it eroding little by little? And with just one change of an election, it could change overnight, right? And what an awesome truth. Lamb followers endure because of the gospel. And we have faith. God says, you're hurting. Your life's hard right now. But you're mine. Woo, right? You're mine. Remember when you loved that girl or guy in school? And I remember when I got married. We came home from the wedding. And we had our tuxes. Well, I did, and she had a dress on. We both wore tuxes. No. And I remember thinking, she's mine now, right? The funny part was when she went into my mom and dad's room, we were at their house, bedroom, to change, I just followed her right in there. She said, get out of here. I said, we're married. Hey, thought we were married now. I have no idea why I'm bringing that up. Okay. Do you know why? Been a long week, yeah. We are his children. Yo, she's mine. It came back to me. I remember saying, she's finally mine. She's nuts, I know, but she's wildly mine. All right, we're almost ready to land this plane here. Can you identify in your life today something that's been controlling you other than Christ? Let me just list some real quick. Has the desire to not suffer tempted you to make decisions that are not pleasing to Christ? Jump out of the fire pan? Have you been deceived in believing that government is the Savior and has all the answers? Don't we see that today? If I can just get my guy elected, my party elected, all will be well. They're all nuts. Government is not the answer. Didn't Isaiah say that the Lamb of God, the government, will be upon his shoulders? He's the answer for government. Is there something in your life that is clearly showing you are following Satan's philosophies rather than the Lamb's? Do you go to and say, what does the Lamb say? Have I been duped in believing this is the right course of action? What does God say? The beast has affected you, if that's true. Is your life characterized by having your way rather than being a servant of Christ and a servant for others, even if that brings on suffering? Now listen, all of us want our own way, don't we? I'll admit it. Anybody else admit it? You know, you guys are so godly. It's amazing. I marvel at you every week. Or your arm hurts and you just can't lift it up. I do. I want my own way, you know? Is your life characterized by that? Rather than doing what Jesus said summed up the entire Bible, his philosophy. Love God and love others as you already love yourself. See, the beast's philosophy is not that. The beast's philosophy is you love yourself. You do what you want. You take the course of action that you want. Didn't James say it's confusion and every evil work and disorder when we do that? What are you willing to do, even if it involves sinning against the Lamb you claim is yours, the one slain for you? Well, may God strengthen us to endure and believe as we have been divinely put down here in this huge fire anthill. We are targets of Satan and his empowered beast. May we marvel at Jesus. Do you ever marvel he loves you? Does he ever just sit back and go, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would dare to call my name? Is that the right word? Dare to know my name? Wow. Just marvel at that? Have you lost that marvel? Wow. Are you following the Lamb? Are you worshiping the Lamb on his throne, even if it hurts? And it will hurt at times as you live in the anthill. Satan imitates God and desires to eliminate God's children. Let me just read Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Wow. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Lamb and for our salvation. Grant to us endurance. Empower us and refresh our hearts to believe in you. You do love us. We are your children, and endurance proves it. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we belong to you. I would not be surprised, Lord, if there were some here today who belong to the great red dragon and the beast. May you reveal to their soul that their only hope is the Lamb that was slain to forgive, to redeem, to give them life and not death. So So as we sing, may your Spirit work in our hearts and accomplish your purpose. In Christ's name, amen.